Hot takes, heartaches, and South Asian stories that hit home for Australians. This is SBS Spice.
And while gendered violence is also a universal problem, it affects South Asian communities in a very, very particular way. And if we cannot tease out the culturally specific ways that are cause and effect for this type of violence, then there is little hope to understand resistances or to counter it.
Curious to hear more? Tune into SBS Spice on the SBS website or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to SBS News.
The Murray-Darling plan review is quite an important one, I think. How do you think that the Murray-Darling Basin is going at the moment in terms of how healthy it is?
10 years ago, a plan was put in place to try and return the Murray-Darling system to health. And 10 years down the track, we find that the river is not doing well. If you look at, there are signs everywhere of sickness, whether it's blue-green algae outbreaks or fish kills. The quality of the water is poorer, and it's a real sign that we need to make big changes to the way we operate the river to make sure it's healthy into the future, because alongside this comes the challenge of climate change, and this is a big challenge for the review, is to embrace or to consider what climate will change will bring to the basin.
I think climate change is definitely one of the big challenges, because I was actually speaking with the chief executive of the Murray-Darling Basin Authority before, and he was saying that climate change actually affects the quality of the water itself.
Yes. We know that climate change will have a big impact on the river, and it is essential that this review considers the impact of climate through its work. And we're concerned that the discussion paper, which has just been released, is flagging that essential environmental targets are not being met, and yet the impact of climate is not going to be considered in terms of how much water is returned to the environment. And so it feels like the issue of climate change is being recognised, but it's not being embraced as being one of those critical choices that need to be made in terms of how much water we do for consumptive irrigation purposes and how much is returned to the river to keep it healthy. And that's going to be central to whether this review is going to meet the challenge of the time. It's a generational review. It's a once in a 10-year review. It's essential that it looks forward and gives the unvarnished truth about the challenge ahead. And one of the big challenges is definitely climate.
So the Alliance is, you know, lots of people basically saying they're worried the review is just going to tinker around the edges and it's not going to produce any real meaningful change or improvements.
We are hopeful that this big moment in the life of the Murray-Darling Basin is going to be embraced, and the review will do the hard work required. I mean, there's been a lot learnt over the last 10 years. There's been a lot of mistakes made. But the big question is what more needs to be done to return to the river to health? And so we are really calling on the Basin Authority to make sure that they are not second-guessing the minister and not assuming that the Albanese government will be afraid to do the hard things everyone knows is required, and to make those tough choices. You know, the community needs the unvarnished truth of the predicament the river is facing. And, you know, this is the time when tough choices need to be made. And it's essential that the authority and the minister and the government step up to the plate.
In terms of, because we're talking about quite a wide expanse here, because it's going from Queensland right through into South Australia, are there particular, I don't know if you could call them hotspots, along that pathway that the Alliance is particularly concerned about, because there's a lot said about South Australia because they're downstream of everything else. I've heard a lot of discussion around the Menindee Lakes, for example, because there's been a lot of fish kills there. But what about somewhere like Queensland? That's important too.
Yeah, indeed. I mean, there's the basin is just an enormous part of Australia. It stretches up as far north as Charleville and sort of north of Brisbane, right down to the Murray Mouth at the Coorong, and pretty much the whole of New South Wales is in the basin. And there are areas which are doing better than others, but the ones that seem to be struggling the most are the ones that are at the end of the major river channels. And so you're talking about in South Australia, the Coorong and Great Southern Lakes and that lower stretch, but also the end of the Darling. So that's Menindee Lakes and south of there, and that stretch is also really, really struggling, because it is often the places at the end of the river that that experience everything that happens upstream, both good and bad. But when we look at particularly in the northern basin in New South Wales, there are areas which are really doing it tough. So we're talking about around the Gwydir, around the Barwon. So those regions are really areas that are really struggling, and a lot of it is because climate change is biting. There is less consistent rainfall, and there is too much water being taken out for irrigation, and the landscape is being essentially sucked dry of the water it needs for its long-term health.
In that issue of over-extraction, I think the Commonwealth has been doing quite a few buybacks of water licences. Have I got that correct?
Yes. So you've got under the original basin plan, there was a component of the plan which was a 450 gigalitre target primarily the original focus was on irrigation infrastructure and efficiency projects, but 2 years ago, when the Restoring Our Rivers Act was passed through federal parliament, there were changes made to allow the government to enter the market and voluntary purchase water from willing sellers as a way to meet some of that water target, and that's been occurring over the last 18 months. There's been quite a significant increase in water buying back for the environment as a result.
But then I'm guessing water extraction, water management is only going to get you so far. There are other things that should be done as well. Does the Alliance have some ideas around what that might be?
So there's an enormous amount that needs to be done to make sure such a large and complex integrated system is healthy. First off, there needs to be a greater focus on what's called constraints management, or essentially allowing water that is in the water channel, the river channel, to overflow the banks and into the surrounding backwaters and creeks and billabongs that often contain so much of the wonderful nature, the birds, the fish, the frogs, and also provides a whole lot of the services around cleaning and filtering of water quality. And so there's currently a whole lot of blockers which stop that water flowing over the banks and in into the floodplains, and some of that is comes from legal restrictions. Some of it is practical, like infrastructure that blocks water flow. So that area is absolutely essential to be invested in, because it means that when we do return water to the environment, it then reaches the areas which need it most. So that's the first really, really big change required. And the second one is around greater connectivity. So seeing the whole of the river as being a connected system rather than a whole number of smaller tributaries and rivers. And that means ensuring that water flows through every part and is connected up. And at the moment, it often much of the management of the river tends to be piecemeal and is broken up amongst different rivers and different tributaries rather than seeing it as a full integrated system. And that means that everyone suffers because that really impacts on the overall health of the rivers. They are the first things, but there's a big area around water justice for First Nations that is a traditional and ongoing problem with the way we look after our rivers, with their water needs to be returned and greater ownership over water given to First Nations. And there's an issue around supply of water to outback communities. So if you live in places like Bourke or Dubbo, you're often experiencing really poor water quality in your local township. And that affects people's health, and certainly it affects First Nations connection to country. And so there's a lot of work required there to make sure that town water supply is done better. And then there's a whole lot of other interventions which can be done to ensure that more natural flow can occur, for instance, or more natural interaction between nature and the river can occur. For example, there's a whole lot of infrastructure, dams and weirs, that stop native fish being able to travel upstream to breed. And so installing fish traps and doing those other complementary measures really helps ensure that nature has more of a fighting chance to maintain their natural rhythm and activity.